In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. A constant theme that I talk to you about, brothers and sisters, is that when you read the Scriptures, you must personalize them. I don't say this out of thin air. The Church personalizes the Scriptures. An example is the parable of the prodigal son. We have not ceased to speak about it. It is spoken about throughout all of Great Lent because it is that important. Of course, the prodigal son occurs, that reading occurs just before Great Lent begins in the preparatory period. But the canon for Sunday always has something about the prodigal son. And the prodigal son is spoken of in other places in the services during Great Lent. That's how important it is. Now, here's an example of how you personalize the Scriptures. This is from the canon, Ode 3, from Matins. I fed on dark and swinish thoughts when, like the prodigal, I left thee, O Savior, and went into a far country. But now I cry, I have sinned against thee, I have sinned, save me. For fervently I run to refuge, for refuge to thy tender mercy. The parable of the prodigal son says nothing about us at all. It's a parable, which means we should read into it something. There's inner meaning in it. And the inner meaning is the prodigal son going to the far country is the same as our soul departing from God when we are sinning. And not just sinning as in certain actions that we have. We need to think of sin in a much more comprehensive way than just stuff that you do or stuff that you don't do. Sin is not just that. In fact, that's only the result of sin. Sin is our condition. Sin is our condition of having swinish thoughts. And even not just thoughts, but opinions and ways of looking at things. Perhaps those are not even discrete thoughts, but they're attitudes that we have about life. Perhaps we have an attitude about life that watching television is more important than prayer. Perhaps we wouldn't say that, but if we watch television and then we do not pray, I suppose that is our attitude. Or that we have some bad feeling about someone that we nurture and kind of hold on to it and kind of feed it. Well, that's not something where we're thinking about every moment, but it is an attitude, a disposition, and it's swinish. So when the prodigal son is feeding the swine, the Church is thinking about how we think. And so should we. How we think and how we live. And so we should establish that we are like this. We already are like that. We don't have to establish it. We have to establish in our mind. We have to know that we have these weaknesses. We have these swinish thoughts. And we do go into the far country. The separation from God. Not separation from God because God refuses to look at us, but separation from God because we leave Him. By the way we live, and especially by the way we think. So, what does the prodigal do? The prodigal says, I've sinned before heaven and before thee. Accept me back as one of thy hired servants. Well, what's interesting is that when this story is recounted in Matins and other places, we skip ahead not to be one of the hired servants, but to be accepted as thy son. Because we know that's what happens. The attitude of the prodigal was, just accept me as a hired servant. But we know that the father accepted him as a son. And so we know also that we can, as the hymn says, we can cry, I have sinned against thee, I have sinned. Save me, for fervently I run to for refuge to thy tender mercy. This is good news for us. Here's another hymn that is profound in its Christology. We have hymns like this throughout all of the services. And I think perhaps it's because of the spiritual atmosphere of Great Lent. They just seem to leap out more off the page for me in the services during this period of time. But listen to this, how profound and beautiful it is. Adam's nature was made godlike, O virgin. When, without undergoing change, God took flesh within thy womb, and we who were deceived of old by the hope of becoming gods had been set free from the ancient condemnation. This is describing the reason for and the effect of the incarnation. That ancient condemnation is that condemnation when Adam and Eve thought that they would be like God and disobeyed Him. And Adam's nature has been made godlike. Well, not just Adam, us. Because Adam's nature is the same as our nature. When the church often speaks of Adam, it's really speaking of the human condition, of us. So our nature is made godlike. And how is it made godlike? Well, because Jesus Christ became man, because without change He became flesh of the Virgin, and this is a Theotokion, and often Theotokions have this really intricate and beautiful and profound incarnational theology. Because really we can't think of the Theotokos without thinking of Christ in the incarnation. And so, this wonderful change occurred when God became man. He changed our nature. This idea that He only became man in order to be sacrificed by His Father to appease His desire for total holiness and blood is a very new idea. And it's certainly not an orthodox one, and indeed it's a heresy. Jesus Christ became man of His own will, following the will of His Father, but choosing of His will to follow the will of His Father, so that our nature would be changed. He took on our nature and He changed it. He changed it to become godlike. Now, let's be careful what this means. It does not mean that because Jesus Christ is incarnate, all of us become godlike. Well, that's not true. I mean, we don't live very godlike. And we see a lot of people that live even less godlike and don't even believe in God or even are opposed to Him. So this cannot be the meaning. The meaning is that we will be able to fully choose good freely in every case. In other words, to become perfected. Because being made in the image of God means we have free will, free choice. But free will and free choice becomes unfree when we choose sin. Because sin always enslaves every time. And we become unable to choose to not sin. Whether it be a particular sin you committed, maybe you don't do that again, but it weakens you in another way so that there's other things that go wrong with you. Perhaps this is a poor illustration, but the idea of knocking down one domino and many others fall. So, Jesus Christ became man so that we could become godlike. Now, this is very, very important. And it's not just important because it's theologically true and it's dogma, but because we need to remember it. We need to remind ourselves. Have you ever paused to wonder why the church speaks over and over and over about the incarnation, about the Holy Spirit, about God the Father and the Son? Why these same things are spoken of again and again in the services? The incarnation, salvation is defined a thousand different ways in our services. Why is that? Well, it's because our nature is to forget. And our nature is to be distracted. And our nature tends towards ingratitude. So we must continually remind ourselves of how profoundly beautiful the Lord is. And what a great gift He has given us. And then, while we remember the gift, we must also think like the prodigal and think, I've wasted it. I've gone to the far country. And then run to Him. So with one thought, think that we are wretched. And in the same thought, believe and know that the Lord will save us. This is what our services are full of. It is how to approach God, how to pray to Him, how to think of your life. It's really a primer on the right way to live, again and again. And that's why the services are so particularly important to us. So may God help us to think like the prodigal, but both parts of his thought. One, that he had gone into the far country, far from God, and was feeding swine, and was enslaved to the devil, because that was the citizen of the far country, by the way, the devil. And the other part of the thought is, not the thought that he would say, only make me as thy hired servant, but the thought afterwards when his father had accepted him back completely as his son and restored his image. So, let us have both thoughts. That we are wretched and we are sinful. And it's really a tragedy how we live our lives. But with the same thought that we can run to God and He will help us. We must master thinking this way. And it's not something that you can master just by saying, okay, that's true. Yeah, leave it. Yeah, okay. No, it's something that you must live day by day and remind yourself hour by hour. And God will help you. The blessing of the Lord be upon you through His grace and love for mankind always, now and ever, and unto the ages of ages.